Thank you. Please to turn with me to three passages of Scripture in the New Testament. Firstly, I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and partway through verse 12. Having no hope and without God in the world. And I'd like you to turn further with me to the epistle of Paul to Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared, teaching us that having denied impiety and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. And finally, well known chapter, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But we do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that have fallen asleep, to the end that ye be not grieved, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus has died and has risen again, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you, the word of the Lord, that we the living who remain to the coming of the Lord are in no way to anticipate those who have fallen asleep. The Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be always with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. Many scriptures, beloved, I could have read, but I'd like to speak simply as to hope. There's three things that abide according to the Apostle Paul: faith, hope, and love. Greater of these is love. Important, necessary, and essential to have faith in Christ. But I want to speak of this aspect of the gospel as to hope. We're living in a world where men are increasingly turning away from God. The state of the world is getting worse. Insecurity, uncertainty, and very many things plague men today. And I thought the verse in Ephesians 2 very clearly sets it out. As to those who are not saved, as to those who do not know the love of God, they are having no hope and without God in the world. What a terrible thing it would be if any one of us here was without hope in this world, having no hope and without God in this world. That is the state of a great many people today. Having no hope and without God. But you know, the believer in the Lord Jesus is not to be that. We have a most wonderful hope. What is the Christian hope? What is our hope? You know, when you set out in life, you have certain hopes. You go to school, you get an education to prepare you for the world. And there are certain hopes you have. And persons, if you ask them, of all ages, will tell you often what their hopes are. And it's all connected with this world and this life, unless they know God. My desire to know is that if you haven't already, that you should have a hope that's outside of this poor world. You'll find no hope here. Persons, the best they can hope for is a materialistic life. But what the Christian has, what we have, what you and I can have, is a hope that's outside of this world, outside of this life. So it's a terrible thing to be without God, to be without hope. But this need not be. And that's why I read in Titus, the grace of God has appeared. You know, in the fullness of time, it was a specific time in the history of this world when the Lord was born. It was marked by God. It was planned by God. The whole world system had got to a certain stage and the Lord Jesus came in in lowliness, born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. That was the incoming into this world of my Lord and Saviour, the hope of Israel, it said. And what happened? Came to his own received it not. The vast majority of Israel didn't want who God had sent. But Paul, in writing to Titus, says, the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared. Think of that. Grace of God. The Lord Jesus expressed the grace of God. It's appeared. He has appeared for teaching that there should be salvation for all men. That is why the gospel is preached. That's why we're free tonight to speak about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for all men. He came here. God so loved the world. Wonderful scripture that, you know. God so loved the world, sent his only begotten Son. The grace of God has appeared. Think of what it meant to various persons on earth when the Lord Jesus came. He called his disciples and they followed him. He healed the sick. He gave blind their sight. And he raised the dead, casting out demons too. The grace of God appeared. He didn't come in judgment. God came in grace, wonderful grace, so that you and I might know his beloved Son, Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was rejected by his own, rejected by Israel, put to death by Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile stand accused of the death of Christ, but he went that way for a purpose. Blessed hope of my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ came into manhood. He went into death. His precious blood was shed. He suffered on account of my sins that I might be forgiven. Isn't it just wonderful? You think of that. God's, the grace of God has appeared. What that meant to God, his beloved Son here on earth. He could say, this is my beloved Son in whom I found my delight. Couldn't be said of any other man upon earth at any other time. The Lord Jesus Christ came here to do the Father's will. Lo, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written, to do, O God, thy will. The Lord Jesus came here and expressed the grace of God, and he did the will of God. And yet that blessed, holy, spotless one was offered up in death. He suffered, he took my sins upon him. And he bore the judgment of the holy, sin-hating God against sin, that I might go free, that you and I might be free. How wonderful it is, what a hope is set before us. No longer judgment and eternal punishment, because God has set a day when he's going to do this. Great white throne in Revelation tells us very clearly the dreadful day that's coming on those who know not God nor obey. But the wonderful grace of the present moment is that you may come to Jesus now and know what it is to have your sins forgiven and to have hope, a certain hope of heaven. What men hope for in life is often very uncertain. If certain things happen, they will achieve other things. You know, the Christian has no uncertain hope before him. We have a wonderful hope. The apostle goes on to speak about what we have come away from and been delivered from. But we are awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That is the great hope of the believer, the Christian. The Christian's hope is the appearing of Jesus, the coming of him for his own. We're going to see the blessed Saviour, the one who suffered and died for me, the one who shed his precious blood for me. We're going to see him very soon. What a hope. It's a certain hope. It's not an uncertain hope. There's no uncertainty that we shouldn't see Jesus. It's a dead cert. It's a certain hope. We don't don't know when, but it's a certain hope. We're going to see him, the one who loves us, who's washed us from our sins in his blood, the one who's given us the gift of his Holy Spirit, the one who loves us even today, the one who suffered and died, has been into death and has risen again. You know, we remembered the Lord this morning. What a precious favour and hope it is that we can remember and speak and think and praise one who's been into death for us. Mm. And the one who we remember this morning is the one that's coming again. Wonderful hope of the church, the coming of Jesus. Waiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Not only is it a blessed hope, but it's glory. What a glorious moment that will be when the Lord Jesus comes for his own. And we see him, because Scripture says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. No longer will his brow be crowned with thorns, it's crowned with glory. All honour, all glory has been given to him, been given a name above every name. And every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus. But our hope, my dear friends, is to see him as he is, and we shall be like him. What a blessed and glorious hope that is. I'd like to impress your heart, if I can, with the Lord's help, of the wonder and glory of the Christian's hope. It's the most wonderful hope. We're not bound by what's going on in the world. We're not bound by time even. We've got a hope that's outside of this world, outside of this life. How terrible it must be, you know. Many of us here have known the Saviour for a number of years. But how terrible it must be not to have this hope, to be without God and without hope, having no hope. Terrible state of the world, and you can see it. Man has tried through the theory of evolution to do away with God, and it's brought him no joy, no hope. Nothing in life but life. We've got something that to enjoy now and will be our eternal portion. What a great hope that is. That we can enjoy it now and we shall be with him eternally. Well, when we come to 1 Thessalonians, the apostle is really opening up the coming of the Lord. And it's opened up really, I believe, as encouragement for these dear saints and for us. Because this really is the end of our hope, to see him as he comes for us. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we the living who remain shall be changed. What greater hope can there be? No longer a hope for this life, but the reality of heavenly glory where Jesus is. Because the apostle says before, as to concerning brethren that have fallen asleep to the end, ye be not grieved, even as also the rest, and I take it that's unbelievers, who have no hope. Terrible thing when a person who doesn't know the Lord as Saviour dies. Great grief, terrible grief, and particularly for those who know the Saviour, for such a one has passed into eternity, and the matter is then fixed. But we have this glorious hope, seeing the Lord Jesus. We the living who remain to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Well, is this your hope? I would like to ask you the simple question. Is this your hope? To see the Lord Jesus as he is. He's been here. He's been into this world where we are. He's set forth the grace of God. He's set forth perfection in manhood. One who knew not sin, no thought, no action of the Lord Jesus on earth ever moved apart from the will of his God and Father. And that took him into death itself, to Calvary's cross. What a moment that was when the Lord Jesus, who knew not sin, was made sin. He had to suffer on account of my sins and yours, and he took up the whole question of sin. And he has dealt with it, as we're told in the scriptures, once and for all. So doesn't that give us wonderful hope? I'm not in any sense setting aside the great matter of faith, because I trust and I desire that all who hear the gospel should have faith and come to have faith in our Lord Jesus and put their faith and trust in him. But that then brings us on to this glorious, wonderful hope. It should encourage our hearts. Sometimes maybe you're going through difficulties, trials, pressures, difficult circumstances, problems hard to solve. We're living in a very difficult day, even amongst believers. But what a hope is this that we have to see the Lord Jesus as he is. He is crowned with glory and honour. And we shall very soon see him. Might be tonight. Are you ready? If you put your faith and trust in him, you will be ready and your hope will be in him. Let our hope, beloved, be burning bright. Very easy as you go through life to put it away in the back of your minds. Yes, we have to live here and work here and so on and so forth. And the hope of his coming, the hope of seeing him, the hope of being with him, can be put aside in my mind and in my life. But the Lord Jesus would have our hope burning bright. It's a day of very great difficulty. I don't minimize that. But I would like to encourage and cheer your hearts with the great hope that the Christian has, the hope that we have, the hope that I have of seeing the Lord Jesus. You know, we've not yet seen him, but we love him. We love a person we've never seen. Naturally, it's not possible. But because of the work of God in our souls, we love someone we've not seen. Most people love someone they meet and fall in love with, and that's it. But we love the Lord Jesus, a person, Son of God, our blessed Saviour, whom we've not yet seen, whom we're going to very soon. Wonderful words the Apostle wrote here. What an encouragement for those saints in Thessalonica to receive this letter from him, that they would be encouraged with the coming of the Lord. And you know, that was nearly 2,000 or maybe 2,000 years ago. So it's clear that the Lord wants his coming to be a present reality with us, not just a doctrinal matter. It's true, of course, it's sound teaching because it's in Scripture. But he wants it to be a present reality. Whatever day, whatever age we live in, the coming of the Lord is to be before us. So encourage one another with these words. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall be always with the Lord. I can think of no greater matter than that. Yes, there will be the day of his public display and his vindication on earth. The very world that cast him out, he's going to reign here. Isn't it wonderful? You know, everything at the moment is in disorder. When he comes to reign, everything will be put right and straight, because there'll be no power on earth able to oppose the power of the Lord Jesus. The power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spoke about the power of resurrection this afternoon. Well, there'll be great power in the coming of the Lord. None will be able to oppose him. Make war with him, the breath of his mouth. Well, what a saviour we have. One who loves us. One who's died for us. One whose precious blood has been shed to redeem us. One who loves us. One who's given his spirit to us. One who leaves his word with us. One who's coming for us. What a saviour we have. Oh, what a saviour is Jesus the Lord. What a time it will be. Eternity. Time will cease to be. And we'll be gathered in and ushered into eternity. You know, we're so, we can't really easily comprehend the notion of eternity. We're so governed by days and weeks and months and years and time. To think of a scene where time would be no longer, where all will be of God and for him, And we think of the coming, the new creation, new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. And we'll be ushered into that scene. Time will cease to be. Well, is this your hope? I can say, through illimitable grace, it's mine. And if it's not yours, I'd like it to be yours today. Have a hope in Jesus. He's done everything for the glory and pleasure of God. And he's done everything for me to make me suited for that place of love. I think John 14 is one of the most precious verses of scripture. That I go to prepare your place, coming to you, that I may receive you to myself. It's not just to that home of love divine, but it's to himself, the person that's done it all, the person that's secured that place, the person who's prepared that place. His, such is his love, he'd receive us to himself. May it be your hope, as is mine, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.